You're listening to WBCALP 102.9 FM, Boston, Boston's community radio station.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Never Give Up, where giving up is not an option. I'm your host, Rochelle Jones. Good evening, and welcome to our feature show today. And asking you the question, is Jesus your roadmap? And I just remembered a song that Richard Smallwood used to sing, and also to a pastor, would always sing this song. And I'm just going to top it off with just the lyrics there, but it's, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Amen. You know, and I was just thinking when I kept hearing that song, it's like, wow, Lord, am I really allowing you to lead me into the center of your will, you know? And when it comes, you know, to Jesus and seeking him and seeking the will of God for your life, you know, are you wanting to know, like, you know, every detail and every step? Are you the kind of person that won't take a step unless you know all of the details? Like, what do you want me to do, Lord? And when do you want me to do it? And how shall I do it? And where shall I do it? And whom do you want me to involve along the way? And, you know, what? Well, please tell me what the outcome will be. Like, want to know from beginning to end. And sometimes God in a vision will show up, put something on your heart, an idea, right? Or are you a person like, Lord, go with me and tell me what to do one step at a time, and I will do it. Are you a person that needs the whole plan? Are you willing to walk and follow Jesus one step at a time? Well, I can definitely relate to both, right? Like, sometimes I just want to analyze it. I want to know all of the details before starting. And then I've become a person, too, who I can start. I don't have to have the ideas. Just I get excited about the start, you know, but then sometimes you run out of steam and you lose your way. And, you know, but I think the best type of person might be the one who can hear the plan and follow the Lord each day, allowing him to, you know, show us what to do, you know, as we go along, you know. You know, we don't need to have the full plan, but we do need to follow him one day at a time. But that's something that we have to learn along the way as we walk close with God, as we begin to trust him more and more, right? We leave those details up to him. I think it's less worrisome when we're able to do that, right? We need to come to the place, you know, where we know that he's the way and the truth and the life, right? And that he's going to help us to fulfill the purpose in our life. So I want to experience that type of abundant life. He said in John 14 and 6, I am the way. He didn't say, I'll show you the way, or I'll give you a roadmap, or I'll tell you which direction to go. He said, I am the way, that Jesus knows the way. He's our way. He's been there. right? I look at it this way. He's been where I'm trying to go, so, you know, and then he sent a comforter to show us like, hey, I made it out of this tunnel here. So if you want to make it out, follow me. And I think a lot of times we take our eyes off of that, right? Yeah. So, but if we're obedient to do everything that he tells us to do, that he leads us to do, that he speaks to us, right? We'll find that we're in the center of his will. Like a lot of times we make it a lot more difficult than it is. And we add a lot of other components to it that we don't have to. So Jesus really doesn't guide people specifically, right? But he says, follow me one day at a time. One day at a time. When you get to the place in your life, you know, where you can trust him, where you can trust Jesus to guide you, we're going to really begin to experience the freedom. And it's so funny is that sometimes in the midst of your trust, you distrust, you forget, like, hey, you started out, you did good. It's almost like, you know, Peter, like, you know, bid me to come unto you. Like Jesus didn't ask Peter. Peter asked Jesus, like, Jesus, hey, bid me to come unto you. And he's like, come on. You know, it's like, you know, and then we get mid walking and things come up in our mind or our thoughts, or we allow the fears to come in and we end up sinking. So we definitely have to build our trust. We definitely have to begin to practice hearing the Lord and trusting him, and that we become obedient each request made. And sometimes we have to go back. And what I mean by that is sometimes when things are cloudy at this step, step 25, I may have to go back to step 22 when I heard him last. You know, don't go back to zero. But go back to the last step when you really were confident that that's what God was saying. Sometimes we disobey or we take a turn in the road and we don't see our way through. So we definitely want to see our way through. One of the examples is Abram, right? Later, God changed his name, of course, to Abraham. And he's definitely our example of one who walked by faith and not by sight, who is willing to leave everything that he knew, right? Because the Lord said so. And so he was definitely obedient. And it says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. So that means he's going to show it as you're walking there, as you're going there, right? He said, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. And so in Genesis, you know, 12, 1 through 5, Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old, and when he set out from Haran, he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. And what I like was like, wow, like, you know, it's so funny because when we think about the Bible, it definitely talks to the young, the youth. But in this particular case, I'm encouraged because he was 75 beginning his journey, you know? So God was very specific. He said, you got to leave. You go where I will show you, you know? And that we have to be willing to follow God with, you know, obedience and with those details. So when we read, when we think about Matthew 6, 33, 34, and it says, you know, to seek first his kingdom, you know, first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And each day has enough trouble of its own. And I know we all can testify of that, right? Is that we definitely have each day have our own struggles. And so therefore, why am I going to worry about tomorrow's struggles when I'm still dealing with today? You know, it's 1:49 today. So, you know, and so we definitely have to, you know, take what God is saying to us. We have to openly confess our struggles to him. We have to be honest, you know, and we have to seek him daily, seek him. And we have to ask him to help. Because here's the thing, that we want to do God's will, but God wants us to do it his way. And boy, we spend years sometimes tug-of-warring in that area. You know, he did say there was a way that seems right into a man, but in the end, it's going to lead to death. So definitely we want to claim the promise in Philippians 2:13. It is God who works in you to will and to do, to act according to his good purpose. Now, I tell you, there's something on the inside of me that wants to do the will of God, right? And so we definitely continue to put ourselves in alignment so that we can be able to do that, right? And so, you know, what does that mean for you in this season about knowing, you know, who God is, what is he saying to you, and what is it he's wanting you to do? And are you able to take that risk and to do it God's way, you know, to follow him? Because he said, hey, I'm the way. I know where I'm trying to take you. I know the plan I have for you. But you're all over the place. You're not staying focused. I'm over here. I said, take a right, and you took a left. And you know what? And then you're rerouting, but then you took too many steps, and the GPS hasn't caught up yet. Like, sometimes we get so out of the way, but go back, you know, and start. Sometimes I just turn around because I don't want that long reroute that they're about to give me, when I could just turn around, go back, and have my GPS start me at the last location that it told me to turn, and I did the opposite. And so this is we want to hear clear and respond and act accordingly. Hear clear, respond, and act accordingly, right? We want to follow the steps of Abram. You know, he's the father of faith. And so we want to follow Jesus one day at a time. He will keep us at the center of his will. He will show us. Jesus is our model. He told us, amen, that he was the way, that he could show us, that he could lead us. The Lord does not change. That's what Malachi 3:6. The Lord does not change. What happens is the world around us is changing. Sometimes our desires change, right? But the Lord does not change. Everything that happens in our life, we have to understand and interpret by the scriptures. What is God saying? What did he mean? So we can trust that God wants to work in our lives, right, in a similar way that he worked in the lives of his people, in the scriptures, in the word of God, right? That we always want to, in other words, evaluate our experiences based on the word of God, the truth of God's word. We don't want to make it up, you know? And we can trust that our experiences are not. Well, we can't trust that our experiences are an effective way to know and follow God, right? No. We want to always evaluate what it is that's happening in our life, line it up with the truth, line it up with the word of God. So what's happening is that we see that people are in disalignment. They're no longer aligning themselves and becoming familiar with what God's way of doing things is. So that it's easy to turn to worldly solutions and not God's solutions. You know, I mean, there's so many people saying, giving advice now with this TikTok and all Instagram, all these other different things, all kind of people are coming on, talking about this and that, giving advice, you know, giving opinions. But we have to line that up with scripture. Not everything is scripture. Not everything that's being said is scriptural, is godly, you know. I get deep breathing is good. It's a way to, they say, to center yourself and to breathe and to calm down. But so isn't reciting the word of God, meditating on the word of God, getting it into your spirit, getting it into your heart. You know, how do we let God's word guide us? You know, how do we seek direction? So, I know he called Abraham to walk in that way, but what is he calling us to do? Of course, he's calling us to walk in the way and the will of God as well, to be men and women of faith. In Matthew 4:18-20, it says, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." You know? And so, what did Jesus say? You know, to this woman, that she shall live. She shall live and not die. And so we can trust this woman, that we can trust what God is saying, you know. We look at, she said, if I could just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. That what are the things, that these are the things that we can repeat and that we can say, if I could just get to Jesus, you know, if I could just, hallelujah, that he's there for us. And when we look at Matthew 9, in verse 9, it says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Amen. So Jesus is giving very clear patterns and consistent things, ways in scripture that we have to follow him. And when you have time, read Acts 9:1-20. You know, God is giving people details, sometimes more details than others. You know, when he called Moses, gave Moses a bigger picture of his assignment, you know. And in every case, the individual had to stay connected and close to God for daily guidance, right? Especially for Moses and the children of Israel. God led them through a cloud by day and a fire by night, you know. And so they were there walking close with God. And so that's what we want to do. I mean, is God your pillar of fire, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night? If the children of Israel, you know, if they kept moving at night, they had to stop when the fire stopped. You know, cloud by day, they had to walk, get up and start their day when the Lord started the day. They had to walk in sync with God. And he's asking us, even 2024, that we would walk in alignment and in sync with God. And John 5:17 tells us, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. You know, as you're listening and asking God to show you what his will is, you know, and God will show you what is God's will for your life. It may not be the right question. What is God's will? And so it's funny that once you know God's will, then you can adjust it to your life, right? And so, you know, he said, look, he's copying what he sees his Father doing. So that's funny. If I'm copying Jesus and Jesus was copying his Father, then guess what? We're going to be in sync. We got to remember that Jesus Christ was fully God and he was fully human, right? The Bible says that I'm in the Father, the Father is in me, and I'm in you. And we have to look at their oneness, right? But Jesus is God and he lived on earth in human flesh. Jesus clearly states how he knew what to do. Jesus watched to see where his Father was at work and joined him. Jesus's approach is to know and to do his Father's will. So that's what we kind of want to kind of copy and emulate, you know, learning to be a servant of God, learning to walk in his ways. So what was Jesus's example? Well, the Father had been working right up until now. He said, I do nothing on my own initiative. He said, I watch to see what the Father is doing. I do what I see the Father doing. The Father loves me. He shows me everything he is doing. I tell you, this is a very powerful model. That sometimes we get lost along the way, but just copy what Jesus did. Just copy what you saw him doing. God is working all around us. He's working in our lives, you know. One of the greatest tragedies among people is that they want to experience the things of God. They want to encounter him day after day. But sometimes they do not recognize him. So we want to learn how to recognize when it's God and what he's saying and when to listen, right? When to follow his lead, when it's your flesh, when it's the Spirit of the Lord. Look at what Jeremiah said. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. He said, all right, you have to be obedient. Listen, you're not going to get the message if you don't go down to the potter's house. And that's what he said. It's like we cannot partially be obedient and think you're going to get the plan of God. He said, so, okay, I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, right? If you look at the potter on the potter's wheel, you know, sometimes the wheel is spinning so fast, if you put just the slightest pressure, too much, it can just mar the clay, collapse the clay. So he made it again. I love that. So he formed it again, another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Okay, so he sees this example, and now the word of the Lord is coming. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O Rochelle, O house of Israel. Throw your name in there. Amen. Can he not do? He said, look, I'm about to show you something. Go down to the potter's house. I'm about to give you a word. I'm going to give you a message. And the message was that. Can I not do as this potter did? The clay was marred in his hands, but he made it again, another. I mean, we're going to close on that encouraging note. The clay has to be molded, right? It has to respond to the potter so that he can make it into whatever he chooses to. The clay can't jump out of the potter's hands. The clay has to remain in the potter's hands. And when the potter has finished making whatever he's going to make, whatever he's choosing to make, right? That clay or the pot, whatever he's making, it can't do what it wants to do. It has to remain in the potter's hands in order to be affected or coming to completion. Suppose the potter molds the clay into a cup, right? The cup has to remain in the potter's hands so he can use that cup the way that he chooses. God is choosing, hallelujah, to use you for his glory. Let him use you. Let him use you. Surrender, not your will, but God's will be done. You've been listening to Never Give Up, where giving up is not an option. I'm your host, Rochelle Jones.